The following is a For Vengeance Media production.
The sport we love is undergoing a shift.
What a beauty!
Borders are breaking down. Some might say disappearing.
Huge goal.
And the freedom to choose is gaining momentum.
J-P-H-L
Through it all, players are better than ever at all levels.
Oh!
From youth hockey to the best junior leagues and the highest level, the game is reaching new heights.
Score!
Presented by For Vengeance Media, this is Game Changers, the home of hockey. On Silent Ice TV.
Well, hello there. We are getting closer and closer to that happening once again, Brandon. It's funny, we didn't start this show until September, but we looked back to the Stanley Cup, and here we are almost upon the point of wrapping up the show with one more episode next week, and they're going to start the Stanley Cup playoffs this Saturday. It's amazing how time flies when we are having so much fun.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's hard to believe the Saints season's over. It's hard to believe the JPHL season's over as well, and that ended like a month ago. But like you said, Stanley Cup playoffs right around the corner. There's still two series to go in the BCHL, but a whack more hockey to be played throughout the entire course of the hockey world. And yeah, Dino, like you said, coming to an end here. Just a couple more shows to go, and then we'll close out on season one.
It is going to be awesome. This is our lineup for today. We will have our top five stories in hockey, and then we will bring in Haley Runnels, who is the commissioner of the Female Super League. Very, very exciting news announced by Silent Ice Sports and Entertainment most recently. So this is going to be so much fun. So we've got Haley coming up in just a bit, but right now let's get into it with our top five stories in hockey. Well, the top five stories in hockey this week involves one story that we wanted to talk about last week, Brandon, and the Pittsburgh Penguins making the playoffs. Unfortunately, craziness happened in the National Hockey League, and it's the Capitals that claim the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. They beat Philadelphia on Tuesday night. The Stanley Cup will begin on Saturday. It was actually scheduled 2 days ahead of what normally, when they originally had planned this. So this is kind of interesting that the NHL is deciding that, you know, we need to move this up a little bit and get things going with the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm disappointed that there's no Sidney Crosby, but I am very excited about the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There is seriously nothing better than that. So, Brandon, when you look at the 16 teams, we still don't know all the matchups. Where's your excitement go?
Oh, man, like you said, it's just a different time of the year. It's a different time in everybody's lives where everything shuts down and you pay attention to nothing but hockey. You talk about the Eastern Conference first. It sucks to not see Sid the Kid get in there. The guys had a heck of a career. He's only missed the Stanley Cup playoffs, not even a handful of times, which is quite incredible since he came into the league. If you look at the Eastern Conference, Dino, and you know what? There's a lot of teams that you can really put your eyeball on to get through. And we've talked about this before. We talk about West versus East later on when they match up in the final. But you got to think a team like Boston this year, who's been red hot, is going to go someplace. And, you know, a big shout out to Jack Edwards yesterday, who announced his retirement from the mic. Maybe a bit of a controversial announcer on our side of the world, but you know what? Was a wicked voice for the Bruins for years and years, and he had a lot of memorable experiences there. And Bruins fans love him. There's a lot of young broadcasters that look up to him. I looked up to him at a certain time as well. And congratulations to him and his career. Do I want to see the Bruins whack off the Leafs in the first round? 110% I do, and hopefully that happens. The New York Rangers and Matt Rempe, though, is where I'm going to go with some of the predictions here. For a young kid like Remps, who played in Spruce Grove a couple of years ago and then went on to Seattle, you know, we talked about his impact in the league when he went in there a couple months ago and just started taking the hockey world by storm. Hopefully he has a good postseason. And then in the West, I know you're going to talk about your Jets. I'll talk about the Oilers. You know, you talked about it before. Is it Stanley Cup or bust this year for the Oilers? Probably. They're trending in the right direction right now. They have the momentum that they're looking for. It looks like they got the goaltending now as opposed to maybe other years. They're healthy right now. And I'd love to see the Oilers go someplace and make a long run at it here, not only for the team, but for the city too. I think the city's been deserving a long time of 06 days to get back to that Stanley Cup final. And now the players, for the first time in a long time, I think have all the tools to do it. But again, man, it's just a wild ride when this stuff gets going. And, you know, the more Oiler games that get to be played, the more TNT games in Edmonton. So hopefully some more work for this guy.
Yeah, no kidding. And the matchups, I'm just really intrigued. I was really intrigued before by, you know, Florida, Tampa, Boston, Toronto, New York was a possibility at one point. And yeah, I'm disappointed Sidney Crosby's not going to be in there. I'm not going to lie, but I'll take Alex Ovechkin in the playoffs. And the Winnipeg Jets will face off with the Colorado Avalanche. That's not a matchup a lot of teams want, but the Jets have played very, very well. I just think that more than ever, and I never used to be really a big buy into this, but the way these teams are, I mean, the ninth place or the eighth place team are the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, you're telling me they don't have a chance in the playoffs? So I used to not buy into the just get in and you have a chance. In the Western Conference, and not slighting the East, I think the West has a better bottom teams than the East does, although Tampa might argue with that. You could just get in the West, and any one of those teams can go to the finals. So you're right. It's Stanley Cup or bust for the Oilers. I think that, you know, I've made that well known that that's the way I feel about it. But there's a few other teams that have to be looking at this. The Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, the Boston Bruins have had some terrific seasons. The Florida Panthers, do they want another great regular season to go by the wayside? So it'll be fun. It starts on Saturday. Hopefully it's a beautiful day for everybody to get out there and enjoy it. Well, it was beautiful weather that we were watching the BCHL playoffs, and not a beautiful result for the Spruce Grove Saints, but our first taste into the BCHL, and the hockey was exceptional in that final game. Sad that the Saints are not moving on, but Alberta fans, Brandon, can still watch some great BCHL hockey in the South or the North.
Yeah, a tough loss for Spruce Grove. You kind of hit the nail on the head there. They didn't go in there, and it wasn't for lack of effort, I guess you could say. They kind of threw everything they had at Okotoks in game 1, 2, and 3. Game 1, a tough result on the road. Maybe felt like Spruce Grove wasn't prepared for the moment. Kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. Game 2, I mean, a bounce away, a shot off a post away from tying the game and sending things to overtime, and then who knows what happens. And then game 3, a back-and-forth roller coaster ride, probably the most exciting game of the season. Spruce Grove down by 2 goals a couple separate times, and in both occasions they come back and tie things up eventually at 4-4. And then just 1 goal in the third period by Okotoks ends up being the difference as they advance in the wild card series. But just shout out to the Okotoks Oilers and Tyler King and the job that they did behind the scenes, broadcasting wise and team wise, to get the job done. The top guy stepped up. You know, you look at Jaeger Tapper, Connor Gourley, Dean Spack, Ryland Brown, Christian Green. Those are some guys that I'd like to single out, and Jaeger Tapper especially. It felt like he just had an enormous amount of success against Spruce Grove this season, and that continued on into the playoffs. And for Okotoks now, it gets even tougher. You go from Spruce Grove to Brooks, and those two teams, they don't like each other. They faced off a lot in the last couple of years, whether it be in the playoffs or just regular season play. It gets going Friday, April 19th in Brooks. And on the other side of things too, on the North Division side, if you will, it's Black Falls and Sherwood Park, and that series gets going in Sherwood Park on April 19th. And then the two of those winners will meet, obviously, in the final, and then whoever wins Alberta will take on the BC winner as those playoffs now progress slowly into round two. A couple series have wrapped up, and a couple of them set to wrap up here before the week is out. But yeah, Dino, you nailed it. A lot of great hockey yet to be played in this province between two or four top dogs, two great series. You got Okotoks and Sherwood. Black Falls and Sherwood, and then Okotoks and Brooks. So have your pick, pal. It's always wicked hockey when those four teams come together, and then it's going to be even more interesting to see who can win those series and who can ultimately take it to the championship and how they fare against the BC winner.
Yeah, and the I love it that they're having the Rocky Mountain Challenge, and for some of the Saints players, this was it. And I said it during the broadcast, it's the hardest interview to do when players are ending, whether it's a junior career, their pro career, even their minor hockey career. We saw that in the JPHL this year with kids knowing that this was their last game playing competitive hockey. But what it does is it motivates those guys for the next phase of their life, whether that's hockey or that's in the business world. And for some former Saints, that has been hockey, including Matt Davis, who was most outstanding over the weekend. And the save, the pictures that I have here, had to the terrific shots from the photographers down in the NCAA championship. You saw a similar save to this at one point, Brandon, with this guy in a Saints uniform. And I know you and Wokey were talking about that quite a bit. But, you know, we were watching this as we were in Okotoks, and Okotoks fans were watching it because Rieger Lorenz, a former Oiler, scored a couple of points in that game as well. So a lot of first time the Saints and the Okotoks had, Oilers fans had agreed on anything in that series. But Matt Davis, easily the most outstanding, 35 saves, 23 in the third period. You know this guy, and you have to be so happy for a former Saint.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're lucky enough to bring in a moment of this championship victory every period of our broadcast on Saturday. And it started with the Matt Davis interview and then some calls from the action throughout the show. And you nailed it, pal. It couldn't happen to a better guy in the Davis family and Matt Davis. You know, their mom's been through a lot. She was lucky enough to be down there along with his two brothers. Jaden did play for the Saints a couple of years ago after Matt. And then Cole Davis, an established rugby player as well. He's represented Canada on the national stage and even the international stage numerous times. And then their dad, Mr. John Davis as well, who played in the CFL at one point. So a very athletic family. His sister as well, Sydney, who is a very good volleyball player, just going along the lines of a very athletic family. But to have all of them there, and there's a picture of them on the glass with Matt taking the selfie from the ice, and so cool. And, you know, Matt Davis, a cool, calm, collected kid, never, ever got wavered by the moment, I don't think. Even in Spruce Grove, you know, you're going into Brooks on a Saturday night in the playoffs, and Brooks has the better team on paper, and Matt's the only reason why the game's close or the Saints have a chance to win. He was never wavered by the moment, and then he ran into some injury problems, Dino. He was the guy in Spruce Grove. He was the guy in Green Bay for a bit in the USHL, and then he didn't get to play much. When he first got to Denver, he was behind a really good starter. He got some injuries that didn't go his way. But this year, he finally got to play again. He was the guy. If he wanted it, he got it. He took it. He ran with it. He ends up starting all the playoff games. Of course, the semifinal and the national championship. And you'll never take that away from him. You know, 35 saves, a shutout in a title game. Denver wins their 10th. But that save right there that we're looking at, you know, nobody understands the moment of that save, too, where it's 3-4 minutes inside the third period. It's a 2-0 lead for Denver. Boston's on the power play in this sequence. If they score that goal, it's 2-1. It's not 2-0 anymore. And they got 16-plus minutes to work with to try and find the equalizer. And Matt Davis, being Matt Davis, the southpaw, he reaches over, makes the save of the season by a mile. Same thing that he did to Carter Savoy, which was a teammate of his actually at Denver over the years. when he played for Sherwood Park, when Matt was in Spruce Grove. Super cool, pal. It's just super, super cool. I was lucky enough to chat with them a little bit after the win, and he expressed a lot of gratitude to the Saints organization, what they've done for him over the years. And without Spruce Grove and the development of this team, he wouldn't be where he is today. And, you know, once you do that on the national stage on ESPN, you shut out a very good program in Boston. Do you not have an easier path to the NHL? I would think you do. And Matt, probably going to come back next year. But then the world is his playground, you know. Whatever NHL team decides to take a chance on him, I don't think he's going to regret it. Just congratulations again to him and his family. Incredible stuff for a guy from Calgary.
Yeah, this was a no-brainer. I mean, the decision to give him the MOP was the easiest one. Not to say that there are some easy races in the NHL race. I mean, it was pretty evident that if Matt Davis got the shutout, he was going to be the most outstanding player. He only gave up one goal in the entire Frozen Four. That's incredible. In the NHL races, though, I mean, there are some incredibly close races. The Hart Trophy, we've talked about that a little bit this year. I mean, do you automatically go to Kucherov because he's so far ahead of everybody else on his team? And keep in mind, when I say so far ahead, it's not like they're a bunch of slubs. Braden Point still has 89 points. It's just that Kucherov is so much better. Do you look at the Norris Trophy, where I think it's probably the closest? When I factor in the three guys, or even four guys, I mean, Quinn Hughes is getting a lot of hype. He's the leading point guy. Cale Makar is always there. And then there's Roman Josi, who has 23 goals and leads everybody. And a young Evan Bouchard knocking on the door at 85 points or 81 points. So to me, the Norris is the closest race. I think the Jack Adams is always a close race because sometimes it involves the most improved team. But I think this year, it's just a lot of really good coaches. Is there one award that you think is the closest?
Yeah, you make a good point with all those and the Vezda, the Calder, the Jack Adams. But the one that takes into account voting, where you started with the Hart Trophy, you know, is that the hardest one because it's a difference of opinion? It's not backed per se clearly by statistics, because it's voted on by all the media members or most of the media members. I think I saw a clip on TNT the other day. Biz said, "I'm not even voting for it because I don't even know who I would vote for, and whoever wins, I'll agree with anyway because there's so many good players."
Sure,
but I would have to go with the Hart, Dino. I mean, do I disagree that it doesn't take into account playoff success? Yes, I do. I think it should be voted on after the playoffs because, you know, you win a Hart, great, but obviously if you win a Stanley Cup, it's far superior, and everybody will agree with that. So maybe I'd love to see it be taken another month or two down the line. But I think because of the opinions, the voting, and how many opinions there are out there, I would say the Hart Trophy probably the hardest to win. Is it Kucherov? Is it MacKinnon? Is it McDavid? I'm not sure. There's lots of valuable answers. There's lots of worthy recipients, but I'll go with the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, I think it's those three guys. I think, you know, in other years, I would look at a goaltender in a guy like Connor Hellebuck, but all three of these guys have done something incredible. Kucherov, with how far ahead he is from everybody. Nathan MacKinnon, 51 goals, 138 points just behind. And then if you prorate Connor McDavid's point totals, he's right there with MacKinnon. He might actually be ahead of MacKinnon. And there's the 100 assists, which something hasn't been done in a long time. I'm sorry, Austin Matthews, I don't think he gets in the conversation even with 69 goals. Like, even if he got 70 goals, I don't think he's in the conversation because his point total is so much less. And that's not a slight to Austin Matthews. He's a terrific goal scorer. He's just not in the top three of that situation. Now, I look at the defenseman and Quinn Hughes with 91 points. If Quinn Hughes was to get 100 points, then I would put him in that discussion because that hasn't been done. So I think those are the three guys for the Hart. Who wins it? Ultimately, it's probably going to be Kucherov. And I disagree a little bit with the playoff because they have the Conn Smythe. And I would hate for that to take away from the Conn Smythe. But I do agree that you should be in the playoffs to win the Hart Trophy. I mean, if you are the most valuable to your team, then you should have gotten to the playoffs. I still don't think non-playoff guys. So I do think making the playoffs is important, but I'm not crazy about the playoff success. I do love the Conn Smythe, though, because that's an award where, you know, in 06, Fernando Pisani was a candidate to win the Conn Smythe. And, you know, no slight to Fernando. He would never be a candidate to win the Hart Trophy in a season, right? So it is kind of cool to have that separate thing. But man, the NHL awards, I think are close, and maybe closer that I've paid attention to in a long time. And speaking of close, how about this? We get another golden goal between Canada and the USA. And this time it's Edmonton's Danielle Serdakny with the golden goal. You knew she would skate well with Father Steve providing the tutelage. And man, did she ever rack up the points in her collegiate career. She was the captain last year. And this is a dynamic player that the Olympic team should be really excited about. But what a moment once again for Canada. They kind of had to rest and take some weird route to this final with their captain, Marie-Philippe Poulin, not being 100%, and she didn't play a lot, and they relied on a bunch of other players to maybe get them to certain spots until Marie-Philippe Poulin could get back in there, and I think that is just the ultimate sign of a team evolving. When your star is injured and everybody else picks up the pieces and still gets you there, that's brilliant.
Well, this is one that Peter Labardius would be very proud of us for covering. Fantastic stuff from Team Canada. I mean, how often does this happen where you and I get to sit down and talk about a women's golden goal? And especially today with the guests we have coming on, it's a fantastic segue. And I'm so happy this happened within the news cycle so that we could talk about this on the same day that we have a very exciting guest coming on. Let's start off by doing it not in Canada, but doing it in your biggest rival's backyard, where you do it in the States and you silence the arena and you make sure that they know Canada's on top. I just, you know, there's a lot of things that we could relate and we like about the USA, but when you get to beat them in hockey, whether it's on your soil or their soil, I think it's always a special moment, especially for Danielle Staradacne. And you know what? Maybe she's a future leader or a future coach in the league we're going to announce today. Yes. With our guest. You never know, right, from the Edmonton area. And you talk about the leadership qualities too, and let's just talk about the development path for women in the country. We're going to talk about that a lot today, but Marie-Philippe Poulin couldn't go to her fullest extent, let's say, in the championship game. What she probably did in the room or on the bench and everything goes without saying, she was still a leader. But for this country to have the development and the depth with all these other players to not have their captain go down the ice, still get the job done in dramatic fashion, I think speaks volumes to the development of women in this country. And it's starting to get to an all-time high. And we're going to talk about it again a lot today. But congratulations again to Staradacne, and something she'll never forget and something all of her teammates will never forget either.
Yeah, and the Canadians didn't forget losing on their home ice to the Americans last year. And that sticks with you for a whole entire season. When you lose on home ice and then you get the chance to pay them back, that is exactly what every team wants to do. And next year, if the championship's in Canada, the Americans will be revving it up. It's like we talked about in the JPHL with, you know, the HC Edmonton won first year, Okanagan wins this next year, and they're both heavily recruiting now to get the upper hand. And, yeah, and that's exactly what you want. The U.S. is going to retool and be back stronger, and with Staradacne and the rest of the Canadians leading the charge, it's going to be an exciting time for international women's hockey. And Finland winning the bronze, another feather in their cap. So I think it's awesome. And we're going to get, as you said, much deeper into why women's sports in general is extremely on the rise as we wrap up our top five stories in hockey. 16 teams, one goal, Stanley Cup final start Saturday. The Saints season ends, but the BCHL playoffs continue. Former Saint Matt Davis was the most outstanding player. We will have the closest NHL awards race we might have in a long time, and the golden goal from Danielle Staradacne. What a moment, and what a segue, as you mentioned, as we bring in our guest today. Haley Runnels is the commissioner of the Female Super League, and we'll tell you all about that now. Haley, thanks very much for joining us on Game Changers. Congratulations on being named the first commissioner of the Female Super League. We are really excited about what this is going to do for the development of the female game. But I guess let's just touch on, before we get into that, let's tell us a little bit about yourself and your kind of hockey career and journey to get you to where you are now.
Hi. I'm happy to be here. And growing up playing hockey my whole life, was one of the people that had to build away from home at a young age just because of lack of opportunity for females. So kind of always been passionate about the female game and growing it. Played a little bit into college, suffered from some concussions and got into coaching early. And that's kind of where my passion lies, always coaching. Played quite a bit of ball hockey recently. That's kind of where my priorities have been. But ball hockey, I've been coaching. I coached Team Canada, the under 21 female junior team this past summer, and went to Czech where they won a world championship. So that was pretty amazing. And then, yeah, just in terms of coaching, U17 Alberta male ball hockey team. And then this year is actually really exciting. We're launching a U17, U20 female Team Alberta program. So lots going on. Girls ball hockey has been really prioritizing the female game for the last few years and growing it there. I'm really excited to switch back over to ice hockey because that's kind of where I'm most familiar. But
Well, Haley, congratulations on the success already on that side, and not very often to get to win an international championship. So congratulations. There's a lot of hard work and dedication that goes into that. Let's talk about the relationship with Silent Ice and the Female Super League. Can you give us some insight on how this process kind of came about from, I don't know, a couple months ago to today, where you are the first ever FSL commissioner?
Yeah. So I guess I've been behind the scenes working to launch a ball hockey league in Fort McMurray, and I used to coach with Tyrell Spitzer a few years back, and he kind of noticed some of the things I was doing on social media and online, and in terms of growing my own league there, and he reached out to me with this opportunity, and it kind of aligns nicely with my values and where I want to head, and it seems like a good partnership, and I'm super excited to help get it off the ground.
I think this is awesome. I mean, we've seen the success on the Hockey Super League on the boys' side of things going into the JPHL, and I love the big picture of Silent Ice, but also realizing that let's start and grow this properly. And already after announcement, the interest from the hockey world has been pretty extreme. So how important is it for you, though, to start with something, make sure you get it right, and then, you know, grow responsibly?
Yeah, we, after launching, as you say, like you said, like there's been a huge, huge interest in the league. We have the opportunity to expand like crazy, but we do want to do a really good job and do it right, and focus on the little things and the small details. And that's going to, in turn, allow us to expand at an appropriate pace. We are mimicking the PWHL in many ways, and the PWHL has been, I guess, infamous for lately, just innovative and new rules and ways of looking at the game. So we want to make sure that we're taking everything into account and doing a good job in-house, and then we'll branch out, and the room for expansion is endless.
Well, let's skip ahead a little bit to the PWHL. It was on our list of questions, but it's a very good point because it's had a ton of success this year. It's probably far superseded my expectations. Dino, you probably agree with just the fan support and the support that it's got. Doesn't matter which city they're in, they're breaking attendance records every time they play a game. The broadcasting, if you want to talk about the For Vengeance side, has been very well done. They got a great package, a great platform, something we hope to emulate for the FSL in the future. But you touched on it and the success that they've had from their first drop of the puck until now. How much do you take from that into your league, and how proud are you just to see the PWHL doing what they're doing?
Well, I think as a female hockey player of any age or retired or whatever, we're all so proud and just so happy that they're doing this and giving everyone the opportunity coming up. And like, you can see it in the girls' game. It's just expanding at a rapid rate. And I think that's also why the FSL is going to be so important, because we have to give those players that are coming up and seeing the PWHL as an end goal, we have to give them a route to get there. And there's lots of holes around Canada and the U.S. right now, allowing players to get to that point. But yeah, the PWHL success is huge for female hockey and female sports in general. And we've seen that all this year already.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is, I mean, we talked about it earlier about representation for people, whether, you know, I had the easiest sort of representation. I saw white guys doing sports highlights all the time. I mean, it was the easiest thing for me to say, hey, I want to do that. It's not always the easiest for a girl to say, I want to play professionally. Well, now you can. Now you can start in your own league if you want to in the FSL and graduate to college and then have a pro aspiration. So, I mean, that must excite you even more on the FSL side, that there is that avenue that isn't just international play anymore or isn't just college. It can be a career. And you know, now we are full on. We have a professional league for women's. We can start training women professionally.
Yeah, I think this is a long time coming, and it's amazing the traction it's got in its first season, and it's going to blow up, and female hockey is going to blow up. I think women's sports in general, and we're seeing that now, but it's all, like, this is just the beginning.
It's incredible, and I'll ask you this. Tyler Wolk has had a couple of years now to build up the HSL, and what he's done over there has been nothing short of phenomenal. One of those things is the progressive body checking. I think when they took hitting out of winter hockey, if you will, under the other stream, it was a mistake. I thought it was the worst thing ever. I'm under the impression the smaller you learn, the less it hurts, the more you absorb it, the more you learn how to take it, etc. You can give it. And when you get to an age where they now allow it, you're getting hurt because you're doing it for the first time. The HSL, not like that. They do it from the early years. The FSL is going to take the same approach. For you to see that as well, the FSL taking the initiative to get body checking in early. It was part of your second press release. Just speak to that and how critical that is for these ladies and their development in their future.
Yeah, I think the progressive body checking is huge and going to be what sets our league apart. But, I mean, body checking or body contact, I guess, if you will, has been a part of the female game for the last, like, several years. It's just been something kind of unofficial or underlying, and you just kind of, I feel like refs just started to turn a blind eye at some point, but it's always been a part of the game. And as you go up into the elite streams and into college and now the PWHL, like, body checking is there. Body checking exists as a rule in the PWHL. So it's important that these girls have a space to learn how to do it properly, be trained from a young age and grow up with it a part of their game. Because if you're adding body checking later at these elite levels and they haven't done it growing up, like, it changes the whole game and the speed of the game. And the elite players often stay with the boys longer than they need to because they want that competition and that speed. But where it becomes a problem is when the boys start hitting and there's that huge size discrepancy. But when you level the playing field and everyone's able to learn body checking properly and they're all female, it's important that it's incorporated. And this is showing up late, I feel like.
I am with you, and progressive is one thing that, as you'll learn a lot more about Silent Ice, is they're definitely wanting to make things better, safer, and more enjoyable for everybody. And we talked about the PWHA kind of rolls into the World Championship, a golden goal. I mean, you can't get a better advertisement for your support than a golden goal. And on the heels of what Caitlin Clark and the women just did in the national championship of the NCAA basketball tournament, I mean, out-distancing the Masters and the men's game, the women's game is riding a wave that is unprecedented, you know, from the pro level to the collegiate level and now to the minor level. Finally, we should say, this wave is happening, and it's wonderful to see. How enjoyable is it? Can you enjoy it, or are you so immersed in it that you're so busy with it?
No, I think it's enjoyable by everyone, but it's kind of like when you're in it, you're like, you're excited that everyone else is excited about the things that you've been excited about the whole time. It's just nice that now you can turn on the TV and, like, there is women's basketball on or women's hockey game. I think it's also great that the PWHL is broadcasting this year all their games on YouTube too, so that it's literally anyone can watch it at any time. But it's exciting for everybody.
Just piggybacking off that, and maybe we'll put our future cap on here for a second and look 3-5 years into the future. Do you foresee women now coming from the FSL into a college program and then competing at the tournament that we just saw Canada win in the States, from now, you know, 6 or 7 years old all the way up to the national program? Is that the ultimate goal?
I mean, yeah, that would be the ultimate goal, of course. I think even PWHL right now, Canada has probably close to 100 players in that league as it is, like, by far over the majority. So I think with a league like this, bringing in lots of Canadian players, that's going to help grow all of women's hockey.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, not just like on the boys' side of the game, not every player is going to reach that level, but this is just instilling confidence. You know, I've said I never played in the NHL, but I have a lot of great best friends from hockey that I grew up playing. You know, we thought it was competitive and wasn't obviously the highest level, but we're still all great friends. And I learned things from the game. As much as you want to develop hockey players, and we talk about this all the time with the JPHL or the HSL, you're just developing people, whether that's a hockey player, a plumber, a lawyer, or a doctor, instilling things that can help them down the road. Sports can do that, particularly hockey, especially when you're all coming together as the FSL will do, be doing for a common goal.
Yeah, sports are huge for that. I think women's sports offer another dynamic too of just like giving us that outlet and that opportunity to be seen and showcase ourselves. And I think part about the FSL in particular is that giving female athletes that same opportunity that the boys have in the HSL and the JPHL in terms of like showcase weekends and bringing everyone together in those spaces for these like large scale events and tournaments. But yeah, like I can't say enough good things.
Well, there is the website, femalesuperleague.com. X handle, formerly Twitter, is FemSuperLeague, @FemSuperLeague. So you can find out more information on there. Obviously, Haley, you're going to be very busy and doing awesome work in getting future national team members on the ice, some for the first time. And that's the beautiful thing, is some of these girls will be playing hockey for the very first time in the Female Super League maybe and trying it out. So I think it's going to be awesome that we're going to see, we're going to hear so many stories over the next years, 5 to 10 years, about girls from this league like we are with the JPHL and the HSL. And Haley, you're at the helm as the commissioner. Thanks so much for joining us. It was great to meet you the other day, and we look forward to seeing you around the rinks. And Four Vengeance can't wait to produce some excellent Female Super League action. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was so refreshing. And as we said, going into that, women's sports on the rise, the athleticism, the skill, the passion, the drive. I love it. I can't wait to be behind the mic and on the broadcast in the Female Super League. And we are always looking for female play-by-play announcers as well, Brandon, something that we started looking at last year. I've talked to a few women out there. So by all means, if you are interested in play-by-play, Four Vengeance is the place to knock on the door, and we can give you some training, and I think it's great. More women calling the women's game, relating to that. It's all about representation, and finally, we're seeing that on the national level.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you take the job that Tyler Woke has done with the HSL, and they've had a lot of women go through their program in the HSL, but now take the established model and throw it on the FSL side. It's very exciting to see what happens, and very good things coming for the women's game. And with that, we'll leave you with this. We'll show you a Matt Davis save from seasons ago in Sherwood Park, Robin Carter Savoy. We'll then show you ESPN's feed of Matt Davis's save in the championship game. And then we'll leave you with the final Spruce Grove Saints highlight pack of the season. Unfortunately, a game 3 loss in Okotoks, and their season comes to an end.
One-timer at wall, stopped by Davis. Rebound sitting there. On top of it is Bader. Benning walks in. Cross-ice shot. What a save from Matt Davis. You've got to be absolutely kidding me. The save of the season from the Saint goaltender. What a save. Larceny from Matt Davis. You've got to be joking. Denver University, what a save.
Matt Davis dives across the crease on no time at all to get across the stop. That one, fake shot from the high point, had everyone fooled. Instead of sending it on net, puts it to the back door, 8 feet out from the crease, and jumps across to get in the way of that puck.
Beautiful setup. BC is getting point-blank chances. Gauthier's shot blocked again. Flutters wide. Smith in front. Throw back to goal! What was that? Oh, Matt Davis is out of his mind!
Babich, Miller, out on the ice for Spruce Grove. Flanked
on the far side by Johnstone. Baumung Dawkins on the blue line. Underway in game three from Okotoks. Puck is all over it. Mader helping out. Took down his man, Roland. Got possession. Pisani walking. He'll fire a shot. Pisani. He scores! Teo Pisani opens up the scoring on the road, and it's 1-0 Spruce.
What a huge start for the Saints. 2:28 into this first period. Teo Pisani with his first BCHL playoff goal. Excellent job on the near side wall, winning a battle with Ryland.
Couldn't fire the one-timer. Good feed from Wilson. Tapper back on the far side corner. At the blue line, McGowan dragging, firing, tip, scores! I believe Sam Huck got a piece. McGowan's leading the rush. Nonetheless, Oilers have tied it. It's 1-1.
See, and just like that, I don't know what the combination was that they're looking for. That's the line that killed them, really, on Thursday night. Tapper, Wilson, and Huck, those guys have been an absolute thorn in the side of the Saints all season. And it ended up being McNelly and Kronowitz.
Kronowitz a chance here to get it back to the blue line. He will, but it's picked off by Jack Silverberg. Silverberg moving up. He'll keep Hellfire. And DeCook snatches that one with the leather to keep the game tied at one.
Saints get caught.
Got some shin pads. And now McGowan up the right side wall. Nearly turned over by Harvey. Picked up by Silverberg. Down low, they score! Jackson Roland able to one-time the puck home on a bit of a bubble play at the St. Blue line. Okotoks on top for the first time tonight, 2-1.
There was bobble puck at the defensive blue line. Silverberg.
Rebound nearly found by the incoming Nagel. Instead, Huck will spring this to Gourley. Gourley walking in for Tapper, a backhander, he scores! Jaeger Tapper, his fifth point to the playoffs. It's 3-1 Oilers.
Too easy, you got a guy caught down low. Have a defenseman leading the forecheck, unfortunately, in the offensive zone.
Brandon Brown, he'll flip this up the gut, knocked back in by Kirkpatrick, apparently kept it onside. Kirkpatrick down low. Going back across, Harvey walking, firing, he scores! Ryan Harvey with his first in the postseason, and Spruce Grove is right back in the game. It's 3-2.
Yeah, you can see Okotoks complaining about this one, thinking that it's offside. Nothing going to be able to be done about that one, but a great shot by Ryan Harvey.
Mader back on it down low. Played around the wall, Johnstone, Harvey a long shot, tip just wide in front by Mader, rebound in front, they score! Teo Pisani with his second in the game, and the Saints again are within one.
Some great hard work down low, and weird what happens when you get the puck up north, and you throw the puck towards the net. Johnstone had the original deflection, and then Pisani, I think, batted that one out of the air.
He'll drop it off. Teo Pisani walking, firing a shot. He scores! And why wouldn't he? Teo Pisani, throw the hats. That's his third, and it's 4-4.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but his dad's got a number of playoff hat tricks. And Teo Pisani, the story in this game, just throws a puck towards the net, high on the blocker side, and it eludes Christian Green, and he's got 3 of the 4. For the Spruce Grove Saints, who have now tied this up.
Here comes Babich. Babich stripped from behind by Tapper. Tapper moving back in. Tapper put it in front, tipped on. DeCook didn't get it, they score. Dean Spack, the captain, just got that one through the wickets of DeCook. Looked like he had it, but it slipped over the line. Oilers lead 5-4.
Unfortunately, again, the Saints have full control of the puck. Skating up the ice.
9 minutes left. Hopefully not in the season. Dawkins up the right side. McNelly got it to Kirkpatrick. He'll move in. Kirkpatrick, DeLang waiting, firing it back door, and Babich just couldn't get his stick free. McNelly in the corner, down low Babich. McNelly couldn't fire at the line. Dawkins lets it go, glove down by Green. He'll retain. Season on the line. DeCook again couldn't exit. Huxley sent it back in. Polak over to Brisson. Carson Brisson up the near sidewall, gave it away. Huck middle, one-timer Wilson, stopped in front, rebound denied by DeCook. What a stop, again, by the Saint goalie. 50 seconds left. Babich Looking to win it back. Mader nearly had it. Puck is in the far corner. Huxley going to try hold it. Saints got to dig it free. Time ticking away. Puck still stuck. They're not going to get it. It's over. The Oilers have swept the Saints. 3-0. They'll play Brooks in round two.
Full value